We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you. I pray that you're having a wonderful Wednesday or planning on having a wonderful Wednesday right here in Brevard County, Florida. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. This is the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by our friends and the saints at Merit Assembly of God, as well as partners here in Brevard County. And we do want to thank you for tuning in today. We do want to let you know that today we do not have our vintage service at 11 a.m. We give that time off to our the ladies who are preparing for company to come into town, the men who are preparing whatever needs to be done as well. And so if you were planning on checking out our vintage service, I will let you know we'll resume that again next week. But as of right now, we're not having that today. We're relaxing, enjoying the time with our families, and getting recharged for the holiday season. Are you ready for that sprint? From now until New Year's Day, it is a lot of festivities, a lot of programs to go to. I remember when our kids were in band and productions of that nature, it just seemed like there was something going on every night of the week. And get some rest. I worked retail a long time, and retail hours get longer during the holidays than they do any other time. You end up not getting the days off that you would normally get. You work longer hours. You open earlier. You stay open later. And I remember coming to a time when I was working in that season where you got to the point where, because everything was so busy, you just wanted the holidays to be over. And I distinctly remember going to God in prayer and saying, God, I don't want this to be my mindset towards the holidays, that I just want them to be over because it's so busy. God, I want to remember you. And so at Thanksgiving, we want to take the opportunity to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done, what he is doing, and what he plans to do. At Christmas time, we want to remember our family and friends, and also that Jesus came to pay the price for us. And New Year's, for me, that's just always a reminder that God gives us a new opportunity. He's always willing to turn a new page in our book and wipe the slate clean. And so make sure that you enjoy your family, and if you get a chance to catch your breath and have some downtime, I pray that you will do that. So today I want to remind you about the Thanksgiving dinner that is coming up over in Cocoa Beach at Sidney Fisher Park from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. This is not something that's put on by Merit Assembly of God. I don't see here on the flyer that's in front of me who it is that is putting on this dinner. But it is for those who are in need within our community. And so I believe that there are similar events going on in various municipalities and communities here in Central Brevard County. So if you have the opportunity, take advantage of that. If you need a free Thanksgiving dinner, and if you would like to volunteer for this event, you could reach Daniel at 613-8171, 613-8171. So let's get right into the Word of God today, if we can. Today we are going to be looking at another name, a pair of names that are found in the Word of God that reveal the nature of God and the benefit that it has for us. And I think it's very, very good that we remember to thank God. God is desirous of being a blessing in our life. And so, and as always, as I've been trying to mention, if you would like a copy of these notes, if you would contact us at 454-4263, you could leave us in a voicemail, 454-4263. I will let you know that, our office is closed this week, during the Thanksgiving week. So, if you leave a message, we are in and out, but, as far as regular office hours, those are not happening this week. You could leave us a voicemail there. You could send us an email at Merritt Assembly, M-E-R-R-I-T-T, assembly at hotmail.com. You could like us on Facebook, and also you could send us a letter in the mail at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida 32953, and we'd be happy to send this research to you absolutely free of charge. So we just want it to be a blessing in your life. So today we're just going to read a few passages, and again, as you're reading these and you see these names, they just look like funny names to you and I, because they were named in Hebrew. But each one of these names has a meaning. Each one of them has a purpose and destiny attached to it. And so these are just some. It's not an exclusive list, not an exhaustive list. We would be here on the radio for years and years discussing all of these different names. But today we're just going to look at a couple of them that have similar meanings. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, and it says, "In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him, and the Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites, bands of the people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets. Surely, at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim rested with his father. Then Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come out of his land anymore, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt and the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem." So we'll stop the reading there. Just one of the things, because this is Thanksgiving season, one of the things that I'm thankful for is that 18-year-olds are not allowed to be president of the United States of America. I don't know how many teenagers that you know, but I know several very intellectual, very godly teenagers, but I'm still thankful that teenagers are not the head of the nation, if you know what I mean. At 18, I wouldn't have wanted myself as the head of this nation at 18. And so, anyway, that's just a lighthearted something to praise God for today. In this passage, we read about two men. One is Jehoiakim, and one is Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was the father of Jehoiakim, and both of their names have very similar meanings. One of them means God establishes, and the other means God sets up. And so today, I want to begin the broadcast by reminding you that God is the one who sets things up. He sets people up. He causes them to be established. He causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall. There are a number of passages that I have written down here that talk or give examples in the Word of God about kingdoms or monarchs that God caused to rise and caused to fall. In Daniel, you will read about a number of these events. You will read in Daniel chapter 4 that God had established Nebuchadnezzar as king of kings in that time frame. In Daniel chapter 5, you will find Daniel ministering to Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar, and that was the time when the handwriting appeared on the wall and nobody could interpret it. And Daniel came and he said, "You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And tonight the kingdom is going to be handed over to the Medes and the Persians." That exact thing happened that very night. There was kingdom transition. You see, it doesn't take much time. All it takes is God doing something sovereign, and there is national transformation that takes place. And I don't want to be established on a faulty foundation. I want to be established on a sure foundation. There are a lot of people who try and build marriages, build romantic relationships on looks. They try and build it on socioeconomic status. They try and build it on fame. They try and build it on, you know, common interest. But I'm telling you, the only foundation that will work when it comes to establishing a marriage is when your marriage is built upon a like faith. It's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and husband and wife are both pursuing the heart of God with all that they have inside of them. So today I want you to know that God does bring national transformation or national change. He causes kingdoms to rise and kingdoms to fall. But in Acts chapter 12, we see where that took place with a man by the name of Herod as well. In Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 24. By the way, there was one other passage in Daniel that I wanted to talk about. It's a passage that is so accurate that people refuse to believe that God could reveal something in such detail to Daniel. And as a result of that, they think that Daniel was written at a later time because it prophetically describes transition of government 1 to government 2 to government 3 to government 4. That was what was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar chapter 2, I believe it is, of the book of Daniel. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold, and then there's going to be silver, and then there's going to be bronze, and then there's going to be iron and clay. And so there is such detail and such accuracy that God causes kingdoms to rise and fall that it causes people who don't want to believe, it causes them pause and says, there's no way that God could be that accurate. Well, I want you to know that before the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians had ever arisen, that God had already called out Cyrus by name in the book of Isaiah and said, "You are going to return my people to the promised land." And I believe it's Isaiah right now. You know, it might be Jeremiah, but I believe it's Isaiah. You're going to cause my people to return. You're going to be the one that commissions their return and the rebuilding of the temple. And so I'm telling you that when God calls you by name, he is going to cause you to be established the exact way that he wants you to, and he's going to cause you to rise for the purpose that he has for you. In Acts chapter 12, verse number 20, we find one of the many Herods in the scripture, H-E-A-R-D, one of the many Herods, and he is on the throne. He had a country that he was at war with. There was some acrimony there, some hostilities in their relationship. And so Herod went to visit that land, and it said that they, when they saw Herod, cried out that it was the voice of a god. And because Herod refused to give glory to God, he was struck down, he was killed, and he died a very painful death. God causes people to rise and fall. So let me just tell you this. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help. We're called to be intercessors. And so for us, as our role, we are to pray for our president. We're supposed to pray for our congressional representatives. I believe that we should pray for our judges, for our school board officials, our county commissioners. We need to pray for them, because without God, there is no way they are going to be able to successfully do their job. And so I just encourage you, God calls us to establish and to set up. Now, there is one passage that I want to take you to in 1 Peter chapter 5, because this is not just something that happens on a national scale or on a ruler's scale, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so what we see in Jehoiakim and Jehoiakim's name that God establishes and God sets up, we see that God himself does that for you and I. Not only does he cause kingdoms to rise and fall, he causes men to rise up for the purpose that God has for them. And he says that he does it personally, but may the God of all grace, it is because of his grace that he does that. Now, what does the scripture say needs to happen before we are established or set up or called to a higher place? First of all, it says that we need to be humble. It says in the word of God that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humility is a key aspect. And so as we are here on Thanksgiving Day, we need to humble ourselves. Humble people are a grateful people, not a demanding people. And so humble yourself and say, God, you know what? Without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So remember that God wants to do that. He wants us to be humble. The second thing is we must prove that we are going to be faithful in the little things. God says, if we are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, how will we be entrusted with true spiritual wealth? And so if you and I are going to be established, if we're going to be set up, we need to demonstrate that we are going to be faithful with our finances. And so that's one of the reasons why we are so have such a heart to give at Merit Assembly of God. It's because we want to demonstrate faithfulness in the area of finances, because God continues to pour out. We want real spiritual wealth. And you know what real spiritual wealth is? It's the presence of God, and it is the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And so we want to demonstrate faithfulness to God, because we want to influence our community for the kingdom of God. We want to be a shining light on a hill. We want people to know the goodness of God. We want to bring glory to the kingdom of God. We don't want to bring reproach to the kingdom of God. The third thing about being established and prospered is that we need to be faithful in that which belongs to another before we will be entrusted with something of our own. And a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't understand that. And whatever job you're at, I just encourage you, be faithful there. Do it to the glory of God. Just don't work whenever somebody's watching you. Do it to the glory of God, because God takes note. And in the Proverbs, it says that if we do our job with excellence, we are not going to serve before obscure men, but we are going to serve before kings and rulers. And so I encourage you to do that. And the fourth most important thing that I want you to see is that Jesus Christ is our solid rock. The scripture says that the person who built their house upon the sand, and then there was a person that built their house upon the rock. Both of them experienced the storms. Both of them experienced the waves. Both of them experienced the winds and the challenges. One house collapsed and the other fell, because one was established on a faulty foundation and the other was established upon the solid rock. That says that it's the people who heard the word of God and do it, put it into practice. And so I encourage you today that God wants to establish you. He wants your marriage established. He wants your children established. He wants your business established. He wants your health set up and secure. The book of Acts declares that God determines the times and the places where we are to live. And so I encourage you today, you do not have to be built upon a spiritual sinkhole, if you will. Instead, God wants to establish you. He wants to set you up to succeed. Listen, the devil will set you up to fail, but God will set you up to succeed. And so one more thing to close out the day here, and that is in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse number 25, we read about another man by the name of Jehonathan, and his name simply means God gave. God gave. And I want to remind you that before you and I ever had anything to give, God had given so much to us. He gave us a unique place in all of creation. Only man was created in the image of God. Only man was had the breath of life breathed into him. Only man, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God is a giver. He's already given. You see, Jesus, he's identified in the Word of God as the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He was already determined to give his life for you and I before we had ever sinned. God is a giver. And so as we are here on this Thanksgiving week, I just want to remind you that God cares. He's prepared. He knew what was coming in your life before it ever got there. And before you ever had a problem, he prepared the solution. The Word of God says that we can cast our care upon him because he cares for us. The scripture says that he has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Now, let me ask you this. Which one of those two is the most important? You see, I don't just want to live. I want to thrive. I don't want to just exist. I want to have the abundant life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. But life without godliness is only going to be an existence that lasts for 70 or 80, 90, 100, maybe over 100 years. But then you're separated from God for all of eternity. I am so thankful that only God can take a vessel like me that was unclean and make me holy. He doesn't just decontaminate those of us who've sinned. He makes us into a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is because of his giving nature that he gives us his Son. He gives us access to the throne of grace. He gives us everything that we need. If you need finances, God can give you the ability to produce wealth. He will give you the opportunities that we need. You see, the world doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe me anything. But it also says he will not be a debtor to any man. You truly cannot outgive God. And I am so thankful that God is a giving God. We've already talked about when Abraham and Isaac went to Mount Moriah, that Abraham said God himself will God will provide himself a sacrifice. You see, when he gives, God just doesn't give things. He just doesn't give stuff. He gives himself. So many times we get trapped in the materialism of this world, and basically what we really need is the relationship. You know, most people don't get married for stuff. Most people get married because they're in love with the other person. And eventually the cares of this world begin to beat up on that relationship and beat up on that relationship. And pretty soon you've got to have this and you've got to have that and you've got to have, and you end up amassing all of this stuff. And then if the relationship breaks apart, guess what? Sociologists tell us that that broken relationships, divorce, is one of the quickest ways to poverty that there is. It has a major impact on the material things that you and I have. And God wants you to know, he wants to give himself. He wants you to know him. And so you say, where are you going with this? Even in the church, we can become so focused on, God, I need you to answer this prayer. I need you to answer that prayer. I need you to answer this thing over here. And what we really need to understand is that we need to not focus so much on God's hand, what he is able to do for us, as much as we focus on his face and getting to know him. You know, the scripture has an interesting thing. May God make his face to shine upon you. May God make his face to shine upon you. I pray that this Thanksgiving weekend that you understand how much God gave for you, but also that God is looking to make you and I givers as well. People who are established, set up by him to succeed and not fail. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier or not. If I did, you'll hear it again. The devil wants to set you up to fail. Everything he does, he's setting you up to be trapped, to be snared. He's setting you up to fail. God never sets people up to fail. He sets people up to succeed. God wants to set you up so that you succeed. So let's close out this day with a little bit of Thanksgiving, okay? Know that God loves you, that he cares about you, and that he is prepared to meet all of your needs, and he wants to set you up to succeed. Father, right now we want to thank you. God, we, on our own merit, we're undeserving of the many blessings. But Lord, the stuff without you would be insufficient. Today, the thing that we are the most thankful for is your presence and your reality in our life. God, I want to thank you for establishing and setting me up as the pastor of Merit Assembly of God now for over 2 decades. I want to thank you that you caused my marriage to be established and set up to succeed. God, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you today for every person. I thank you for every business that you set up to succeed. God, may every person here know that you have given them everything that pertains to life and godliness. You have given them your son, Jesus, so that their sins could be taken care of. God, today, may we praise you and thank you. Let's just close out the broadcast today. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you and thank you for your goodness and your greatness to us. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.